to make up our mind and take the right decision. You know, God has been so gracious, and He is extending the time. He is giving us another chance. He said, He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Brethren, God is dunging us. God is giving us another opportunity. God is bringing forth His word. And I hear the cry in our hearts and say, Lord, have mercy. Give me another chance. Give me one more year. Give me one more time. And I believe that as we hear the word of God today, let us take it. Praise the Lord.
Father, it's a privilege and a fearful thing to be standing here in the presence of yours and the presence of your people. And I do pray, my God, that you would overshadow me and that you would overshadow this place. I pray, my Lord, that your presence would come. And as I speak, I pray, Lord, that you would be able to speak through me, O God, to particular hearts, that you would be touching issues of the heart, that you would be dealing with situations and bring deliverance. My God, I pray that your Holy Ghost would have a free course, and we rebuke every other spirit who would try to come and have preeminence, every other spirit who would try to come and misuse the gathering of the saints, because we do know, Lord, that when the saints are gathered, all the other spirits are gathered here as well to be feasting, and we reject them. We are not giving them to eat anything. Amen. My God, I pray that you would help us to focus our minds, that we would be able to hear what you have to say. Lord, hear it in a way that we would apply it to our lives. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is a fearful thing, isn't it, to be in the presence of God. In one hand, it's a great blessing, and it's very good. On the other hand, we know that this is a serious business, serious thing. It is a serious thing because the promises, the price that has been paid, amen, and the free will God has given to us, which is giving us the possibility to miss it by our own decision. The problem is, our own decision very often is that we don't decide. And we believe that when we don't decide, we gain the time, or we have avoided the consequences of deciding wrongly. But by not deciding, the decision has been made. Amen?
Yes.
And that's the fearful thing. So I pray that God would open our minds in a way that we would understand what is in stake. Hallelujah. God was recently putting on my heart, and this is recent weeks and months, and perhaps that's something you all know and you're very much aware. But He was putting on my heart to explain who we exactly are and what is our role. Brother Barak touched it very nicely when he was explaining explaining about the church. We have tendency to think bad about church or the word church, and sometimes I have a hard time when people ask me whether I'm Christian and they are from the world. I have a tendency to explain, yes, but. You know what I mean? Because I do not want to be associated with the mainstream, which is unfortunately having the same name, but unfortunately it's not bringing the glory of God. So, regardless of the bad experience we have with the word church and what the church is doing these days, we are church, and that's a biblical word, isn't it?
Yes.
But we need to be the true church, the church of God, yes. Not the church of the world.
Yes.
Because the church is really, these days, more business in a religious shape or environment. But God is making a church, amen? And He is giving us a particular job. He had designed it from the very beginning, amen? Who we are supposed to be. And Brother Berg was talking a few beautiful pictures. And the beauty of the picture is the bride. Amen? The wife. Do you remember Isaac being the son? Abraham sent. And he's looking for a wife. And what struck me there is the thought of compatibility. Is it correct pronunciation? Yeah. That the bride, that the wife, needs to be compatible. In other words, swear you will not get him wife from the land of Canaan.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why? What's the trouble? What's the problem? There is a major principle. There's a major principle. God cannot associate light with darkness.
Amen.
There's a major separation. And this is something we struggle with. We would like to have it both. We would like to have the light as well as darkness. But one of the first things God did is He separated light from darkness.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And He is not allowing, and He will not allow, because it's against His nature that light associates with darkness. And this is the problem of the present church, brethren.
Yeah.
This is our trouble. This is our problem. That we would like to have light, but we have a hard time rejecting darkness.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And maybe we can say amen to rejecting darkness, but when it comes to reality, I mean when it touches our life, daily life, from morning till the evening, when it touches the money, when it touches the children, when it touches the wife and husband, when it touches the work, when it touches whatever there is, we start defending our position and say, why are you demanding? Why are you touching this? Can't I live a normal, regular life and be Christian? Well, I don't think we are understanding the calling. We are understanding who we really are in the Lord. Amen? Well, okay, let me touch a few things and I'll try to explain it. We did mention that God called two lights. Amen? The big light, which is the sun, He called for the day. And the moon, He called to be the light for the night. Amen?
Amen?
So, church is supposed to do what?
To give the light.
To be the light. Okay, let me ask it differently. The question is now, and let's get it from the Bible. Who is the light of the world? No.
We are the light.
The church is the light.
Yeah? Did you know Jesus is not light of the world anymore?
Yes.
He said, while I'm in the world.
While I'm in the world. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world while I am in the world.
Yeah.
We all remember the scripture and it's perfectly correct.
Yeah.
And it's speaking about Jesus being the light. And hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. But that's not applicable anymore because He is not here and we cannot observe His walk. Amen. The world cannot observe His walk. So He handed it over to us. So now we are supposed to be the light of the world because of the present darkness. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that people should go around and they need to come and see the church. I mean, not the church, I mean you. And I don't mean you in plural, I mean you individually. The world needs to come and see you, see your walk, see the way you treat your kids, see the way you treat your wife and husband. They need to see the way you think. They need to see the way you handle finances and parents and whatever there is. I mean, the practicalities of life.
Amen.
Amen. And they need to see, and that should be an answer for their own life. That should be the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the calling of the true church. Finish, amen.
Amen.
And wherever we are failing, we need to repent because we are coming short of the calling. Hallelujah. You know, we can gather here and we can be doing whatever we are doing and praise the Lord. It's good and it's encouragement and it's necessary to gather here. But unless we take the Word and the Word becomes flesh,
yes.
Hallelujah, we have missed it all. It is not for the knowledge. Amen. It's not for the knowledge that we would be more clever. These things, by the way, they will all pass. It's only for season. Like the physical tabernacle, we don't build anymore, do we? Because we understand the shadow of it. And we would like to become the true tabernacle. We would like to become the true habitation of God. Because God wants to inhabit us. He wants to inhabit us in a way that if He wants to bring God somewhere, God bringing God somewhere, you know what I mean? He sends you. He sends you as a representation of His presence. And when we come, we are to be the presence of God.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to take the Word and apply it. We need to take the Word and say, God, what are You saying about my life? What is there You're after? What do You want me to change? Very, very practically. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because the church is represented. When God was looking for a representation from the tabernacle, and we know the tabernacle, I've seen it somewhere, unless we have changed the slides. Is it still the same thing?
Yes.
All right, there's tabernacle right here, good. And there is the lampstand, right? Can I edit? Sometimes we call it candlestick, even though we do know there are candles there, right? So it's not a candlestick, it's a lampstand. When you go to Revelation 1, then you would find Revelation 1, 2, 3, if you wish. There you would find that we are referred to. If you go 120, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, which we know is lampstand. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen.
Yes.
So the Lord is referring to the church as a candlestick. Lampstand again. Amen.
Amen.
Why is He choosing the lampstand to refer to a church?
The light of the world.
Because we are the light of the world.
Yes.
We are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to be the one in the darkness to be giving light. Amen.
Amen.
And this is our job. We can be gathered. And we can be doing our meetings. But unless is producing the light, we are falling short of the calling, an election which is there. But you say, how do we produce the light? You know, you can be asking, what is the way we need to produce a light? What is it? How do I produce, how do we as a church produce life? Light, and life, by the way. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Explain ourselves? Well, yes. What is the lampstand standing for? We know that the lampstand is pure gold, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, did you notice that's the furniture which is not wood covered with gold?
Yes.
But it's gold, it's pure gold. It's beaten gold, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you have... It's the same level. So you have the lampstand, and it's pure gold. And the lampstand, the symbolism of it, is that there is 1 plus 6. So it would be 1 and 6 branches. So 1 plus 6 equals 7. So the 7 is fullness, isn't it? The 7 is the perfect way, the perfect will. And how is it produced, the 7, in this particular furniture, is that it's cooperation of God and man.
Yes.
So the way to produce light is to be led by the Lord and be changed by the Lord, and therefore we produce light. Because don't be mistaken, you can produce a false light. Light which is not bringing people to God. And this is, I don't know what word to use, I would use charity, but charity biblically can mean the love, agape love. I mean the, you know what I mean by charity?
Yeah.
You know, charity, the world is doing, all the churches are doing, you know, they are doing good stuff and good things, but that's not what God is asking us. You know, Jesus was not going around and establishing charities, was he?
No.
Whatever he did, it pointed to the Father. And it was miraculous. Amen? So, if we want to be as a church or as individuals, if we want to be the light for the world, you have to learn to cooperate with God Himself.
Amen.
It doesn't work in any other way. How do you cooperate with God? How do you work with God? First, you have to hear him or see him. Unless you know what he's saying, how shall you obey? How will you be able to do what he says you to do if you don't hear him? If you don't spend the time? And my children ask me, of course, as they grow, this is one of the things each of them is asking me. Daddy, how do I hear God? Then how do you hear God? Because they have a lot of testimonies. Zillion testimonies all the time, and they are puzzled. How did you know, Daddy? How did you know, Mommy? Well, the Lord told me. How do you hear him? You know what I mean? You know, these are the little testimonies, and that puzzles the children. Because they see God dealing through people. And they see it's something you cannot fabricate. You can do charity. You can do these little things. But the question is, are you working with God? How do you learn to hear from the Lord? How do we? I mean, do you hear? Do you hear and do your children hear God? In the way that God can lead you, talk to you, give you words and understanding. Or do we have the mentality of a clergy and laity? Maybe the clergy, yes, the ministry from God. No, we have rejected it, haven't we? Each of us individually needs to hear from God.
Amen.
What do I do if I don't? I need to repent. And you know, my children, sometimes they ask me something. They ask me a question. They ask me, Daddy, can I this and this? And I tell them, well, no. And they keep asking, so Daddy, can I this and this? And I keep quiet. Why do you think I keep quiet? Because I told them already. And they learn this. And after a while, you know, especially when the older kid is around, they come and say, don't bother him. I mean, he said what he said, he's not going to answer you. You know what I mean? So they have to do what I told them to do first, and then they can come and I tell them more. You know, I'm not going to tell them and repeat myself because it still is valid what I did say 2 minutes ago. The problem is, that's not what I wanted to hear. So they ask me a question, they don't get the right answer, from their perspective the right answer. So they try to ask me again and hope they'll get the right answer. And if they could persuade the other parent, you know, they try to get a better answer from them or from somebody else. Like sometimes we would do and find preachers that they would give us the right answer. Amen? If the preacher sounds too strict, too limiting for our life, we go around and find somebody who says, no, that's all right. And we believe we have heard from God. No, we haven't. We haven't heard from God. And not only that, but you know what has happened? We have spoiled our hearing. We will not be able to hear from God specifically and precisely unless we learn how to obey what we have already heard. And this is not that God will speak to us revelation from Bible only. If we believe that hearing God is that I read the Bible and He explains me what each and particular thing means, and that's it, you're mistaken. Because God is very much interested in talking to you about you. Amen?
Yes.
He wants to establish relationship with you. And He says, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you personally. God wants to talk to you personally and to you personally. And if you hear Him, you know, and I tell the children, you know, when you're doing something and you hear this little voice and it sounds like your mind or you're not sure, but it's not you because it's telling you something you don't want to do, but you know is right. In that very moment, you have a decision you need to take, you need to make. Will I obey? Because if you do, not only you have saved part of your soul, but you are tuning your ear and you are hearing better what He is saying. Those people who hear very well from the Lord are the people who are trained to obey.
Amen?
Amen. And if you don't hear precisely from the Lord, it's because, well, I think you know. You know, God is going to use us. God is going to speak to us. God is going to be sending us. He is going to make us a light. And sometimes what He says, it sounds too simple or too foolish or too strange. And sometimes we do not understand exactly why is He saying what He is saying. You know what I mean? But it's building in us the ability. He's training us. It's like when we are training our children. He's training us. I remember once we are in the kitchen and my wife is there and she says, God is telling me to take a bottle of milk and walk to the neighbor and give him a bottle of milk. Oh, okay. I mean, better obey. Not that one would understand it, but all right, just knock at the door and say, well, sorry, the Lord is telling me with a bottle of milk. you know what I mean? And yes, sometimes it can be strange or weird. So she's, you know, I don't know how exactly she felt, but she reached to the fridge and took a bottle of milk and she went to the neighbor and before she was able to knock on the door, the neighbor is opening the door. You know, and she said, hi, sorry, I'm bringing you a bottle of milk. And he says, oh, that's a weird thing. We have a visit. And I'm fixing them a tea, and I didn't realize I have no milk, so I was thinking maybe I go to you and ask you for some milk if you have some left. You know what I mean? By the way, both of them are here. You know, so you can ask them and they can testify to that. I would like to, you know, and you can go again and again, and the kids are asking, how did you hear it, Mommy? I don't know exactly, but I know that I obeyed it. You know what I mean? And you can go and you can have testimony and God can use you. But the problem is, we have to make up our mind who we believe we are. If we believe we are just people, and this is our problem, if we believe we are just people, we are just people worshiping God, going to church, being religious, loving some sort of righteousness, you know, limiting God out, we will be just what we believe we are. But one of the main things is God was explaining to us and showing to us that we are not just people. Do you know that? Do you know we are not just people?
Right.
Yeah. Do you know? And this is one of the key of Revelation. If we understand who we are and who we're supposed to be. Because we believe sometimes we are British. That's easy to say because I don't know whether there are any British people here anyway. You know, it's easy to say they. You know, what about Nigerians? What about Czechs, Americans, whoever else I might have forgotten, Germans or whoever else is here, you know? And we might be proud of it. And we might say, okay, God, can't I be German and still a son of God? Can't I be Nigerian and still son of God? The answer is no. The answer is no. You can't. You can't because God has not created the cultures.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
This is what is against God, actually, because your culture is teaching you different than the Word of God is teaching you.
Yes.
Now the question is, oh my, you know, what do I do about this? You might have your festivals, you might have your seasons, you might have your customs. Well, God has two.
Yes, amen.
And they are different, trust me, they are not Czech customs.
Yes.
You might be laughing about our customs. Maybe not laughing. It's Eastern, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what do we do? I don't know whether you do it, but what do we do on Easter? You know, that's a Czech. That's a Czech thing. And so if I want to be Czech, we should keep it. What do? We have a long stick. It's not stick, is it? How do we call it? Huh? It's like few rods, and you work with the rods and put them together, braid it together, okay? And it's big, you know. And we go around on Easter Monday, the men, and we whip the ladies. Huh? You don't really want to know why. Because it's a little ridiculous. Okay, so we go around and you're with the girls and the mothers and the grandmothers and you go house to house. So the girl gets spanked 20 times, 30 times, very regularly. Yeah? Seriously, no kidding. You know? And then the girl, after she gets spanked, she kind of thanks you. Okay. And, well, you would be surprised when the boys come and they spank the girl and it's 10 times and the girl is already sick of it and tired of it, you know. She says, Daddy, don't open the door anymore. And the daddy is the one, welcome! Come again. You know. And the girl, when she's beaten up or spanked or whatever you call it, she's supposed to give an egg to the boy. So the boy goes around and he's collecting eggs.
Egg?
I do not want to go in details. If you will go to history, you would understand this is only symbolic. You understand, perhaps, what it means, and I cannot and will not go in explanations, but you perhaps can imagine what it represents. The thing he holds in his hand, And you can imagine what the egg represents. All right? So this is our habit. You want to become Czech? Not the ladies, huh? Why I am picking on Czechs? Because it's easy for you. I need some Nigerian to be picking on Nigerians. I need some American to be picking on Americans. You know what I'm saying? We think it's fine. And you know the church says it's Eastern. The egg and all this is symbolism of Jesus Christ, and they give you all this rubbish. You know? And they say, oh, we do it in our church and we celebrate Jesus. You know, we do it and then we sing songs. And this is what the Christians do. They go to church, they do this, and then go and they go around and keep spanking. And if you talk to them and say, that doesn't sound right. What's wrong with this? Why are you taking my culture? You know, I was recently in Uganda, and one brother was explaining me all the cultures they have in Uganda. And it's very sickening. You know, if you imagine all these things which are happening there. You know, you say, well, here and in this village, they eat people. What? Yeah, but don't worry, they eat people only from the next village. You know, they don't go as far as the main city. And these things, and again, it might be easy for us to laugh at it, because we say, well, it's Uganda. Oh, the Ugandians, or whatever, you know, it is. But, brethren, are we still wanting and willing to be associated with our nation? Do we still believe that we will remain who we are in our nation and then be sons of God? What are we representing? Are we representing our country? You know, by the customs, by the behavior, people aren't able to tell. Not by the color of the skin, trust me. You know, I know a man who was very, very, very weird in the color of his skin. Because he was talking, he was acting, and I knew him from the tapes. Then I saw him, he was black. He didn't talk black. He didn't think black. You know, and he was black skin. He told me, Martin, that's funny because white people think I'm black, black people think I'm white. Huh? Isn't it so? It's Brother Dusil I'm talking about. You know what I mean? He wasn't black man, was he? No. You know, and I don't want to be white man. No. Amen? Amen? I don't want to be Czech. I don't want to be known as a Czech. I don't want that when I speak, when I deal, and I'm not talking about an accent. I'm not talking about the skin. Because that's not the problem. The problem is here, the mentality. What am I promoting? Am I promoting the Czechness? Am I promoting the Nigerianity or whatever it is? What is the thing? No, I am serious, brethren. We are so much struggling to give up. We are trying to hold the things and say, can't we have both? Can't we be like the other nations? Can't we be like the other churches? We would like to establish what the churches have. And God is saying, no, I want to be your Lord. I want you to listen to me, hear me, understand me, and walk. I want to send you somewhere. I want when the people look at the kids, I want them to say, how did you do that? You know what I mean? I want you to be light. I want you that when they come and they say, well, listen, I mean, how's that? In the worst case, they'll say, oh, you're so lucky. You know, you've got good kids. Yeah, they were born like that. No, seriously. Seriously, this is that the people need to know you by. Yes. But you say, well, maybe when they are bigger. You know, I mean, Jesus, when he was 12. Well, that was Jesus. But we are supposed to be like Jesus. Yes. We are supposed to be like Jesus in every aspect. Because you know what? We are the same nature as Jesus is. We believe that there is God there and there is people down here. It's not true. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. He's your oldest brother. And his father is your father. You are children of God. You are children of light, the Bible says. Amen.
The light has birthed you. Amen?
Amen.
You're born of light. You need to walk in light.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, God says that the church is a candlestick. It's represented. It's represented. The candlestick is representing the church. By the way, we should be walking as a church. Not being organized and well working as a machine and have pastors and people who are leading us. You know, we need to be sensitive, every single one of us.
Amen.
And we need to hear what God is saying. What if God wants us to meet somewhere else? Will we be able to hear Him? What if God wants to redirect us, change the plan? You know what I mean? Are we willing and able to hear Him? No, God, I already have a plan. Oh, wedding. All right. But I've got a business. Really? Who is making your calendar? Is it God? Is it your business? What is who is the priority? What is the priority? You know what I'm saying? And what is important for your children? What is important for your life? Education? How successful they'll be? What is it? Well, it depends who you are. If you believed, and I really mean believed, that you are supposed to be the sons of God, then everything else comes aside, doesn't it? Imagine you would realize that you are by some chance son or daughter of a local queen or king or some other king or queen. Wouldn't that entirely change your life and perspective? Wouldn't you stop worrying about certain things? And wouldn't you start being interested in taking over the kingdom? Not overtaking, taking over. Because this is how God did it. This is the purpose. We are the people of God. You know what I mean? But we don't believe it. We cannot imagine it, and we cannot comprehend it. We cannot believe that a calling is that we should be walking on this earth as people of God, representing God. We should answer to the people and say, if you're looking for God, look at me. As Jesus did. We are not getting it. We don't believe it. We believe it maybe for somebody else. We believe it maybe for Brother Dusille. We believe it maybe for Brother Bird. We believe it maybe for some other people. Amen. But we cannot imagine it as me. But that's the very calling. What do you believe then? Do you believe then to get saved and die and go to heaven? Well, all right. That's true, by the way. Is that the calling? Is that sufficient? I think it is for some of us, judging by the way we walk, judging by the way we make decisions, judging by the way we have opinions about everything. I think. Jesus wasn't thinking. Well, of course he was thinking, but he was not having opinions about, well, what we should, shouldn't. He says, I didn't do anything unless I heard it or seen it from the Father.
Amen?
Amen? And you know, if you think you heard from God and you haven't, what do? You need to repent. You need to admit it and say, God, I missed you. And the question is, how come I have missed you? What was the thing in me that made me to miss you? How come I heard this when obviously you are saying something else? Well, because there is a new competing thought. There is a new competing ambition. There is a new something that you want. There is flesh demanding. There is soul, which is the old soul, and the old soul is trying to keep the old nature, the old will, the old desires. Don't touch my desires. Don't touch my money. Don't touch my children. Don't touch my family. Don't touch my job. But brethren, it's not going to help us if we sit in these meetings. Unless we take the word and we do something practical about it.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be life in us. How do I know there's no life? Tell me, how do I know? How do we know it? Just look at the praises. It's not about praising a little faster, a little slower, or this. Even though it might be a little part of it, I don't know. I'm not the right person to ask. But I don't think we believe what we are singing. I'm not sure we really care sometimes. You know what I mean? I mean, they are serious things. But the song, if we want to praise Him, we need to praise Him how? In spirit and in truth. What is the truth? It is an experience. You know, it is an experience. It's like if you say to somebody, I love you, you can tell. Is it the tone of voice? Is it the intensity? Is it the color of the voice? Is it the expression of your face? I don't know. But I can tell whether you mean it. Isn't it?
Yes.
That's what we teach the kids. We teach the children. Well, you need to apologize to each other. I'm sorry. No, honey. That's not what I meant. I mean, you really need to apologize to each other. I'm sorry. No, I don't think you understand. I think you miss it. You are missing it. You don't understand what you did. And you try to explain what you did. You have hurt somebody. It's like killing somebody. You know, you can hurt by words. Is it what you want to do? And sometimes what I do, it's a nice trick actually. I say, do you want me to treat mommy like this? No. Shall I go and kick mommy? Shall I go and bite mommy? Imagine it. I mean, is this the way you want us to run the house? No, seriously, because they love mommy and they would hate me to go and bite or kick mommy. Or pull her hair or things like this. Huh? Yeah, or you know, or say bad words. You know, I said, do you want me to do this? Why not? Well, because that's nasty and that's bad. And it's, yeah? And then I go to mom and say, sorry. Is that, how would you want me to say sorry to your mommy? Well, it would be nice if you hug her and smile at her and if you say, mommy, I'm so sorry. You know what I'm saying? I say, why don't you do the same? You know what I'm trying to explain? You know, if you go, you can tell by the face, you can tell by the expression whether you mean it.
Yes.
You know, the children, I'm not sure whether the children are glad around me. They know me from the camps and things. They know I'm on them constantly, you know. And the facial expression, sometimes we go and we say, you know, sure. No. Come back. You know, some brethren became very strong by squats and things they do, you know. Because we don't give in. I don't give in when they try to cheat you by lip service.
Yes.
And honestly, God is not to be cheated either.
Amen.
He's not cheated by lip service. I mean, do you think if I see it as a parent and I can tell difference, God doesn't? Do you think if I can tell that the kid is just pulling my leg, he's just paying lip service, do you think God is not seeing even further than that? He sees every of your motives. You can tell him, God, I love you. Yeah, God, I love you. Hallelujah. Yeah, I love you. What's the dinner, actually? What's the time? Yes, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Amen. The meeting is supposed to start in a minute. You know, we are wasting time and we are fooling ourselves. No, I really mean it.
Yes, yes.
We need to go down and we need to change.
Amen.
Very practically change.
Amen.
You know, change the way we talk, change the way we treat each other, change the way we walk, change the way we fast or don't fast, you know, change the way we come to church. You know, one of the things God was teaching me, when we come to church, that we need to come, focus, we come into His presence. Because we have tendency to treat it very lightly. We come to fellowship, you know, and as if we don't believe we are meeting God and a miracle is going to happen in our midst. Do you know why we don't have it? Because we don't believe it. We are not expecting it. We are not coming for it. We come in 2 minutes before the service starts. You know, we keep talking and explaining and telling everybody about this, and I had this little accident and this situation, and have you heard about latest news and this and that, and I bought a discount, I bought a shirt, you know, and all these things. And the service comes and we are still the first song, we are half in the song and a half still continuing our discussion. You know, brethren, we cannot be deceiving ourselves. And if somebody would come in our midst, what's the testimony? Is it people who care? Is it people dedicated to God? Is it people who are laying down their lives and they are sacrificing it for salvation of the world? Is it people who are repentive? Is it people who are willing to change in a way that they would become alive? Is it people who are hearing God? Are we hearing God? Are we hearing God in a way that one brings a song and another brings another song and we flow together in a spirit? And if not, do we even care? Do we bother? Do we repent? When you go through a song service, and a song service, you can tell, is not what it should be. Do you repent? Do you go before God and say, God, we missed it. What have we done? What have we done? Shall I fast? There was a season where I wouldn't go to church unless fasting. You know, I mean, a little fast. You usually Sunday morning you skip breakfast. You know, or something like this. I just, God, I need to be focused. I need to learn to be focused. I cannot afford. I'm struggling with this. There are certain things running through my mind, and I cannot afford. What if you speak to my ear, and I will miss you? You know, and God whispers a little word. I come to meeting and God tells me a little word. So I go and I find three scriptures on it. And the meeting starts and the little sister stands up, you know, and starts prophesying and says, this is the word God is speaking. And I say, yes! Amen. You know what I mean? Or there's a song God is speaking to somebody the whole night, the whole morning. And then the person comes and comes to the musician and say, you know, I believe God is saying this song. And the musician smiles and says, look at my songbook. That's the song he's saying. Amen. And you know we have met God. And little things like this, but you know we are not expecting it. You will not get it. We will not get it unless we believe this is the way we should behave. This is the way we should do. We should be going and meeting with God in every single occasion. Do you believe God can speak through you? Yes. At a meeting? Do you believe God can even tonight send you to say somebody to something? And he will say, ah, that's what I need to hear. Thank you. But if meeting finishes and we are full of our own things and minds and already things rush and rush and rush and rush, we are useless for God. We cannot belie it. When people would come and see us in a world, when they see us doing different things, how can they tell there's something different? They need to be drawn and they need to be asking. You don't need to go and tell everybody, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian. You know, they come to you and say, you're weird. There's something different. You know, there's something different. What is it? You know, you think differently, behave differently, and you can tell them and give them a testimony and bring them. Amen? But bring them to what? You know, sometimes it's a trouble. We give people testimony about God and they say, well, the only problem is don't come to our church. Because we deny what I'm just preaching now. It's a shame, brethren. I don't think it's time to beat around the bush. Maybe I should be more nice. I'm a visitor here, right? I'm so sorry. All right. But we need to face it. We need to make up our minds. What do we want? Do we want to build and establish another denomination, another regular nominal church, and have little fights between ourselves about little things and doctrines? Is that what we really believe we should be doing? shall be put in place and put here somebody who will speak and preach and do it well, and the rest of us will be just sitting and, enjoying ourselves? Do we believe when we go to meeting that you might play a particular part in the meeting? Maybe by prayer? Maybe by praying the word through, you sometimes see that the person who is speaking is struggling. What are you doing? I'm praying. I'm helping in the Spirit. I'm rebuking the Spirit. I know my wife, when I speak, she always does. She always would be there praying and interceding and praying that God would forgive me, that He would help, the things go through. Where is our participation? You know what I'm saying? What are we going to do differently when we leave this meeting? What are we going to do differently in the next days? I mean, in our real life, in our relationships, in our hearing God. Are we going to go down on knees and say, God, I don't hear you sufficiently, I need to hear you. And God, I am ready to do what I know. What I already know you have told me to do. I will stop kicking around, I will stop resisting. I will stop fighting, I will do it. Because I need to hear you more. I need to hear you better. Because honestly, and this is what I tell my children, I said, don't you know already? Don't you know already? Didn't I tell you? And if I didn't, shouldn't the Holy Ghost have told you? How come you didn't hear Him? You know, sometimes the children, they take it as an excuse. An excuse is, well, I didn't know. All right. But you were supposed to know. You think the Holy Ghost was not there, tapping on your shoulder and telling you all the time? How come you have missed Him? You know what I'm saying? How come you have missed Him? And the thing is, you know the branches, right? Do you know we are the branches?
Yeah.
Do you know Jesus is the branch? What is who's the prophet? Is it Mama? Is it Zechariah, or is it? Yeah, I believe it's Zechariah 2 and maybe 6 as well. It's speaking about Jesus being the branch. His name is the branch, amen? But then, it's speaking about us being the branches. It's John 15, isn't it? This is tree, right? This is the same tree, the branches, amen? And it says, I am the vine. You are the branches. And my Father, He's the husbandman, isn't He? Amen. What is He requiring? What does He want us to do? Bring forth the fruit. Or the fruits if you want, but in the Greek it's fruit, it's singular. And here, it's represented, you know what is actually on the candlestick, on the lampstand, you know what's there? Flowers. Different flowers. My kids would make a better drawing. But what is the flower about? It's a promise of a fruit.
Amen.
Flower is there to promise a fruit.
Yes.
Because that's how we should be walking. You know, you cannot be producing light unless you are walking in a fruit. You cannot be shining. Your testimony is not valid unless it's signed and proven by your walk.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You can tell people anything you want unless they see it in their life. It's not valid. You can tell your kids whatever you want, brethren. You know, we are failing as parents and we are trying to explain and do all these things. But the children do observe us, brethren.
Yes.
They do observe us, and sometimes we don't need to speak. They just will see us. And if they see you doing the right things, they'll join you. But if they see that you are paying lip service, and you're just telling them, well, you should do this, and you shouldn't do this, and you should this, shouldn't do this, and you do different, then you teach them religion only. And then they will learn it well. They'll be good church members. Reasonably obedient, at least to the limit you believe it. But in their hearts, Where's their conviction? Do you know where's their conviction? Where's your conviction? What is your conviction? What is your belief? And you know, I know what you believe, or God knows what you believe, not about what you say you believe, but what you do about these things. And you might be clumsy, we all are clumsy, but God appreciates it. You know, we are a little clumsy in trying to, do things God wants us to do. The children, sometimes they are clumsy in trying to, you know, obey and do the things. But it doesn't matter. We will learn it. We will be, you know, sometimes you feel God wants you to say something and you say it. You keep it short and it's a little clumsy and you feel bad. But God says, that's right. Because you obeyed me. And I honor it. You know what I'm saying? And the fruit, I mean, if you go to John 15, as you start the quote, he is speaking about bearing forth fruit. Amen? He's speaking, let's find it.
John 15.
Yes, John 15 it is, yes. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Amen? Kids had a hard time when we were teaching them at home. They had a hard time to, you know, about the part that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And what happens with a daddy? It's burned. Ah! So, when I'm not bearing fruit, yeah, that's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. What's the fruit? How do I know? Well, let's go to Galatians. What is it, 5 or 6?
5.
5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, so we are supposed to have love. I mean true love. Joy. If you don't have a joy, you don't spend time with the Lord. Did you know that? Sometimes it's tough for me. You know, I'm overwhelmed so many things. You know, and kids come and, are you okay, Daddy? Yeah, I'm just tired. And you're not having joy. Yeah, that's... you know, you kind of try to explain them, and but then I go to my little closet and I said, God, I'm supposed to have a joy. Is it that I wasn't spending time with you, or how do I balance it? And I try to find a true joy. Not cheap one, but true joy. Peace. Do we have a peace? Do we have a peace for children, by the way? Wow, we don't believe in peace for children. Children, they need to play. They need to shout. They need to be crazy. Because, no, that's what the psychologists would tell you. If you limit your children, you crush their spirits. And I say amen to that. Because we are supposed to be crushing their spirits. Amen? But I don't mean to crush the child. I just mean the spirit of violence and foolishness. Honestly, do you really believe that Jesus was here? If he was here, he would be 9, 10, 11. You know, he would be running like crazy and fool all around, and the people would have to come and stop him and say, wait a minute. You know, well, leave him alone, he's just a child. Do you think he was playing? Oh, yeah. Sure, he was playing. I mean, the children should play, isn't it? They should play and they should have fun and perhaps they should be running, you know, all this. But there's place to run and there's place to be quiet. The kids, they should be able to, you know, to control their emotions, they control their body. Peaceful. Isn't it so? Or am I reading the wrong Bible? Or is it too hard? You know, one brother left our fellowship, he was there for a short time. And, you know, we always allow the people, when they say goodbye, we allow them to say what, you know, what is your problem. And it's very amusing, it's like a... It's like the pulpit is kind of funny, because when they come behind the pulpit, they start speaking things, you know, unbelievably. And there was a couple and they left our fellowship, you know, and they wanted to be together, and I wanted to have it their way, you know, and we expressed that we believe there's a way of God. And they said, no, we want to have it our way, and they leave the fellowship. And before they leave the fellowship, they come to the pulpit, and we said, well, why don't you say hello and say the reasons why you're leaving us? And they said, the man comes and says, well, we would like to say goodbye. We are not visiting with you anymore. We are not fellowshipping with you. And the people said, what do you have against us? What's the trouble? What do you struggle with? And he goes, well, you know, we want to get married, and we know it's not God's will, and we are in rebellion. We want to do our own things, and it's not compatible with being in this fellowship, so we prefer to leave. And he goes, all right. You know, and they walk away. And his brother, he comes and says, no, I'm not staying. And I said, right, what's the trouble? You have a trouble with doctrine, or is it something, you know, we can do about it? I said, no, you have too high moral standards. Yeah. I'm sorry, we are not willing to do anything about that one. You know what I mean? And people do say that. And some are at least honest enough to say that and walk away. Some are in the midst and they are trying to do something because they would like to stay. Because they like certain things, but they don't want to be all the time confronted with the light.
Right.
You know, I would like to come to church and have a little rest. I had enough troubles during the work time. Let me come to church and just, you know, hear a nice word and all these things. You know what I mean? And then have nice fellowship and socialize. That'd be great. I don't want to be challenged all the time. That's what people say. That's what people think. You know, but that's what we need. That's what we need to come to God. You know, I mean, when I come to take a shower, you know what I mean? I expect that I leave cleaner.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, I don't want to go to get shower and say, yeah, but leave all these things on me. No, I mean, you go to church and you say, Lord, I pray that you would speak to my soul and convict me.
Mm-hmm.
Convict me. Convict me. I want to leave with something specific. I'll take back to my room and I will do change about. There are particular things I want to be dealing with, brethren. Amen? We need to be having fruit. Long suffering. Amen? Lord, I pray that I would suffer and I would suffer long. Yes. God will teach you. He will give you circumstances. And He will teach you how to be able to suffer long under circumstances. I mean, if you want depth in your life, you have to go through difficulties. Amen?
Yes.
Unless you want to be, you know, shallow people, you will have to go through some struggling and overcoming. Just if you declare in the spirit, you know, say, I want to be a son of God, that immediately gives license to certain spirits to go after you. With every declaration you say, with every declaration Jesus say, you know, He is being led to the devil. Did you know that? Whenever He was baptized by the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost is right before this experience. Amen? Because it's the brazen labor. So when Jesus was baptized in the water and consequently by the Holy Ghost, the dove has arrived and sit down on His shoulder. Amen. What is the next step? What is happening next? Huh? He was led by the wilderness by whom?
The Holy Spirit.
Why the Holy Spirit? To meet whom?
The devil.
You didn't like to hear that one, did you? You know, we think we can avoid it, but we cannot. Because we cannot prove certain qualities unless they are tested.
Yes.
You know, it's like I have a bulletproof, I'm selling bulletproof clothes. And I said, this is bulletproof. And I said, how do we know? What do you do? So, well, we're testing it. You know, we don't test on people, obviously, I suppose. But we tested on, you know, we have a, that's not my job, but I'm assuming that's how it works. You know, you put it somewhere on a wooden employee, okay, and then you would shoot, and you want the bullet to stay in the clothes, in the vest, rather than go through, right?
Yes.
And then say, yeah, we buy those. If you tell somebody, I have a long suffering, how do I know? Then we need to be trying. God wants to boast. You know what I mean? He wants to boast like he did about his son, his oldest son, and Job and others. You know, he says, look at this guy, he's patient. Really? Can I see? Oh yeah, I let him wait. And wait, and wait, and years go, and you know, God just wants to prove your patience.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Are we willing? Are we willing? You know, gentleness. You need to be gentle, gentlemen. I don't care what your age is, young gentleman. We need to be gentle.
Amen.
If you spend time with the Lord, you will be gentle.
Amen.
He was very, very gentle.
Yes.
Very gentle when dealing with souls. Very gentle. He wouldn't be forceful. And yet, he was powerful.
Mm.
Are we gentlemen? Or are we rough men? I mean, at home, when nobody else sees it. Are we being gentle? Are we considerate? Are we understanding the soul of the other person? Or we don't care? Are we being gentle? Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen.
You know, the lampstand and the tree with the branches is the same story, it's the same thing. And it's saying if you stick with the Lord, how was it in John 15? How does it continue? Abide in me, and I in you. If the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me.
Amen.
Brethren, there is no way we can bear forth the fruit unless we abide in him.
Amen.
What does it mean, abide in him? It means you cannot go left and you go right. We need to go and we need to change our habits. We need to have a habit of spending the time with the Lord. But sometimes you don't have the time to spend the time with the Lord. Because you are too busy. Sometimes for the Lord. How absurd, isn't it? You know, God requires and says, I want you to go to your closet. Shut the door and pray. And sometimes we rush. You know, sometimes we do the same with the word and we think it's good. No, it's not. Sometimes we do the same with meetings and we think it's good. It's not. Unless we have the time to digest it and do something about it, it does not become a flesh. It does not change our lives.
Right.
You need to take the word and then you need to chew up on it. Chew up on it and say, God, what are you demanding? What are you requiring of me? What is the thing you want me to change? What are you talking about? What are you touching? Unless we take the word, unless we take the notes, and we go before God, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, brethren.
Mm.
And you know what's the problem? When we meet each other 5 years later, 10 years later, 2 years later, and we are doing the same things, behaving the same, dressing the same, talking the same way, struggling in a marriage the same way, having the kids just 2 years older, but behaving in principle the same way, we are missing the point. And it will not be forever. It will not be forever. Children might grow one day, and you will have no chance. You will have no chance to influence them anymore. You know what I mean? The same with your soul. The same with other opportunities which are gone. Let's not deceive ourselves that we still have a time. We still have time, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe in the fall, maybe in the summer. Let me just finish this and this and this and this, and then God, I will. He won't. And then the life is gone. The kids can be gone. You know. and the calling can be gone. There is high calling. God has called you to this word for a particular reason. Don't settle for less. We are supposed to be lampstand. We are supposed to, you know, to bring forth fruit. God says, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. You know, brethren, if we understand we are not people only, if we understand that we are supposed to be the sons of God, that should change the way we move. The spirits should be afraid of us. The circumstances should be afraid of us. Not the opposite way. Amen? We should be walking. I have an experience. It was an interesting one. I don't know how long ago it is. It's somewhere 20 years back, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. And Toronto Movement. Do you know the Toronto Blessing? It actually is Toronto Curse, but they call it Toronto Blessing. Came somewhere. And you know what it is? No? Yes. It's a foolishness which came into churches, Pentecostal churches. They believe it's Holy Ghost, and people laugh and bark, and a crazy, crazy thing. Yeah? And they roll on the floor, you know, jump on chairs, and, you know, I mean, if you just name a thing, and it's in the church today. Yeah. However crazy you want, it's in the church. I mean, I watch a few of these videos, you know, and you are sitting there and say, God, I just cannot believe it. It's such a shame. You know, you almost want to say, I'm not Christian to everybody. I'm not Christian. I'm just a servant of God. You know, I love Christ, but I'm not Christian. Please don't associate me with this nonsense. You know, I've seen a pastor, I've seen a people in age, 50 years of age, you know, decent man, and he's there on the floor walking and barking, and his wife has him on a leash. And they are walking through church, and he's barking, you know, and things like this, and people are running, and it's just disgusting. And other things I can't even talk about, okay? And I was somewhere, and there was this thing happening. And you come, it was a tent, and you come, you know, and you see all this, and I couldn't believe it, what people do. You would think they are possessed. If you put it on video, you would think they are, you know, that they are crazy, you know, and they are doing just terrible thing. And as I was standing there, I noticed one thing. Around me, it stopped. You know, just a few meters around me, and it stopped. The people kind of came and started to behave normally, and they sit on the chairs. I said, it's interesting. So I walked somewhere else, and it started again crazy. And there it stopped. So I kind of played with it, you know. I was interested in what's happening. So I went to other corner, you know, and again it stopped there. You know, I'm just standing. I didn't say anything. I'm just standing there, and it stopped. So I walked with the shadow, you know, and as I walked with it, it was stopping around me. But unfortunately or fortunately, a woman noticed it. There was a woman observing all this, and she noticed it, and she called the other man and says, he's disturbing it. So they came to me, and I said, no, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm just observing. And I said, no, you're doing something. And I said, no, I'm not doing anything. You're disturbing it. You have to leave. You have to leave because you're disturbing the spirit. Yeah, I suppose I am. You know, they meant Holy Spirit, but I knew he's not very holy. What I mean is, God wants to walk with us. You know, and it should bring us to a decision for our lives. What is the thing we want? You know, isn't Matthew saying, or Jesus in Matthew, of course, isn't he saying that we shouldn't, how is it? Let me find it for you. It's Matthew 5, for sure. Actually, I believe it's in every gospel, this one, if I'm not mistaken. In Matthew 5:15, it says, neither do men light a candle, which is not a candle, as we know, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Amen. This is kind of the very, very beginning of his preaching. This is where he starts.
You know, if you have a light, we are supposed to go and bring the light to the world, which is our family, which is the house, which is the church, as well as the community around us, as well as the work, as well as the school. Wherever you are supposed to bring light. Amen? Children, there are some people we cannot reach. But you can. You visit with them. They are of the same age. They might be at the same school, or they might be in the same community somewhere. You need to be the light. Yes, some of them will decide they do not want light and they might hate you. But some of them desperately need you to walk with God. They desperately need you because you are the only hope they have. They mock you sometimes only to test you. They're laughing about you because they say, is it somebody who will compromise just because I laugh at him? They are desperate enough, but they are crying. They are might be hitting you. At school, I have somebody who named himself Nero, you know, and he liked to beat Christians. That was a fun, he said, you know. I was the Christian, by the way. But, you know, they just want to see how will you behave. What will you do under certain pressure? What will you do in a certain circumstances? And they observe you. You know, I was preaching everywhere. I was just telling all the kids and explaining the Bible left and right and left and right, you know. And I was so busy preaching that I forgot to study for the next day. You know, and I was in boarding house and what do? Oh my, I'm not ready. Well, let me get sick. You know, we could pretend we are sick and ask get a little paper, you know. So in the morning, the teacher or whoever or the guardian came and says, "Well, good morning, everybody." I said, "I don't feel good, you know. Oh, are you sick? Yeah, I think I'm sick. I think I'm staying behind today. You know, she touched me in the temperature. Well, you don't have a fever. Oh no, it's good. You know, she's all right. She wrote a little paper, you know. Then I stayed in the bed." She left, and the guy to whom I was preaching the whole evening, he says, "I don't think I need Jesus." You know what I mean? I lost this one. Till today. I pray God would forgive me and he would find somebody else more diligent, more righteous, more light-giving. I lost this one. You know what I mean? I could have preached the whole evening. I think the better thing would be if I would be learning and studying, you know, tell him, "I'm sorry, I'll tell you about Jesus tomorrow, but I believe the Lord is telling me I need to be diligent." You know what I mean? I did repent, and I did finish the school pretty good. And then I was thinking about university, and God says, "No, I've got something else for you." But it's a different story. What I want to tell you, there are people you can reach, you know, but you cannot just preach them. You have to live it. They need to see something in you. They need to see something in you. And that's serious business, children. Because he wants you to walk in a way. You know, when you are 12 years old, you should be able to talk about Bible in a way that you would put all the doctors in a shame. Because of the simplicity. Because of the application of the word. You might not understand every detail of it, but you will say, "I live it. I walk it. I love it. Amen. I hear God. I listen to him."
Amen.
What was the age of the little boy, Samuel? Was he 3 or 4, somewhere there? 4 maybe? And Brother Mark is saying 4. So he was there and he delivered word to the prophet. To the high priest, I mean. Yeah, to the high priest. Thank you. There's nothing bigger than time. You know what I mean? What is the limit? What are we aiming at? What are we waiting for? You know, so I just want to say that don't put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it should give light unto all that are in the house. Wherever your house is. And I suppose I conclude here. And
I just would like us not to go and add and add and add and add things. Why don't we rather go and take it, all right? Take it and take it before God and ask God, how do I become the lampstand? How do I start bearing forth fruit? How can I be a testimony that people see that I have changed? I'm different. I'm not Czech anymore. I'm not Nigerian anymore. You know, I would like, and it happens. People meet you after some time. I say, there's something different about you. I know you differently. If you've been wild, all right, they say, you're very peaceful. Are you all right? And sometimes, in a bad sense, you know, your mates say, come on, what's wrong with you? You know, so, well, there's nothing wrong, actually. Let me tell you. So, I would like to leave us with the idea of the church was called in Revelations 1:20. It was called a candlestick, lampstand. You are supposed to be the light of the world, not Jesus anymore. And we need to bear fruit. We need not to go into charity and charitable works. We need to hear God. And out of his own heart, out of hearing from him and being sent, we need to do things which are not only building kingdom, but giving a testimony. And then it'll draw people, and they will start asking the question, where did you get this? Where did you get this? You know, there are people who we have preached to, and they didn't take it during the school. And then years later, decade or, you know, 2-3 children later, they had a situation and they would call, pray for me. Because they knew. They were Catholics. They didn't get our doctrine, but they knew we have a relationship with God. So pray for me. They called my wife and she prayed over the phone. The kid was immediately healed. They called, 3 months later? Pray for me, the kid is in hospital again, and there's a different situation, different kid maybe, I don't know. You know, she did pray, the kid was healed. Amen. It happened 3 times, and the person came and said, I need to hear about your God.
Amen.
I need to hear more, because I know there is a walk, it's different.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The people know, when they are in trouble, they would call and say, pray, because we know you walk with God.
Amen?
Amen. Who do we want to be? Who do we want to be as individuals? Who do we want to be as church?
Hallelujah.
This is for us to decide, not about what we say, but what we do with it.
Amen?
Amen. Bless you.